Here we go.
This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
When you made out that list, was Boston top of the list? Or?
Yes.
It was?
Yes. Okay.
Why so?
Well, when they first asked me, I would obviously go, you know, wherever. I wasn't going to hold them hostage or anything like that. But, you know, I wanted to go to a place that wanted me and a place that had a great chance to win. And, you know, I think Boston fits both those perfectly. I just want to bring my style of hockey, try to be a big power forward, bring some offense, be responsible defensively, kind of a complete player. But it's you know, I haven't really been in this situation coming in mid-season, so it'll be fun to see what happens. But at the same time, they're such a good team, and they have so many good players, is you just kind of want to see where you fit in and not ruffle any feathers.
Nash, the thing you heard there is that, you know, he was asked, were the Bruins at the top of your list? And he said, yes. The Rangers came to Nash a couple weeks ago when they announced that they were going to blow the whole thing up and went to Nash and asked for his list of teams he'd want to be traded to. And he was asked, was the Boston on the top of the list? And Nash said, yes. So Boston was on the top of Nash's list, and when you listen to Sweeney, too, and I won't play the sound, it's a little convoluted, but Sweeney sort of implied that the Bruins were talking to New York about him for a long time, that Gordon knew about their interest, and they were on the line for Nash for a long time. So I like that. You know, I think that they had that in mind the entire way. And so, look, I think it's worth it. I think it's worth it. I don't know what the chances for success are, but I think it's worth it. And I think it's just a great sign of where the team is. We never thought they'd be in this position to make a run for the cup and trade for a guy like Rick Nash at the deadline.
Going to be an interesting spring around here.
Really is. Okay, so that's on the board with everything else here on a Reentry Monday. Mike and Methuen, go ahead, Mike. What do you got?
Yeah, hi. I was just wanting to ask you, in regards to the Rangers selling off a lot of their high contracts, are you surprised that they didn't try to move Lundqvist? And the other thing is, how do you think Jimmy Vesey feels not sending with the Bruins? All the Rangers are being traded over to the Bruins.
Oh, great point on Vesey. Yeah, how does that taste? The Lundqvist thing is interesting. Wouldn't you start with Hank Lundqvist?
Definitely.
Now, that's the highest paid goalie in the league.
He's making like $10 million, isn't he?
And he's, I'm going to guess, 35? I don't know. Old. Maybe he's not quite that old, but he's north of 30, I think.
35.
Oh, no, I bet you he is 35.
Thank
yeah.
you. I nailed that one. 35. You start there. Right. That's an excellent point by the caller.
I mean, unless he has some sort of massive no movement and said, I'm not going.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I bet he might. I'm sorry, Jimmy?
3 years left on the contract at 8.5 at a full no movement.
So, no movement. Still, I'd say, Hank, why do you want to stay here?
He probably told him to go. Well, he's like a, you know, New York like fashion model fraud,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
No, seriously, he's probably into all that bull crap wearing his stupid hats.
Stupid hats. Meanwhile, foresee your own future, control your own temptations, and your destiny will not just be reached, it'll just be starting.
I can't control my temptations.
Rob Gronkowski over the weekend, and then today he tweets out what?
What was it, Jimmy?
There are no limits.
Gronkowski today tweets out there are no limits, and then we find out, Jimmy Stewart, what's happening in the wrestling world next week?
In 13 days, WWE presents Fastlane pay-per-view. Here's their motto, buckle up, because there's only one road to WrestleMania. And when WWE superstars enter the fast lane, there are no limits.
I'm telling you, keep digging on the foresee the future, control your temptations business. You're going to find out that's Dr. Fuji or something. There's some sort of wrestling reference there.
So how do we know that Gronk isn't just in this fast lane stupidity like he was a year ago?
Well, even if he is, he got paid $1 million for that.
Yeah, but I'm not saying it might not necessarily be tied to his long-term future.
Well, no, the more he dips his toe into this
thing,
Maz, the more it's likely he's going to leave and become a legitimate WWE superstar.
And by the way, this sounds like a big event, but it ain't WrestleMania, right?
It's the road to WrestleMania.
So this is sort of more like on the circuit kind of thing.
It's important.
But no, it's like it's less important, but he's doing it, which means more to me. You know what I mean? Like
if WrestleMania is the Super Bowl, this is a playoff game.
Okay, but the fact that he's doing something beyond WrestleMania, you know,
he's getting engaged on deeper levels.
When is WrestleMania? April Fool's Day, right, or something like that?
I believe it's April 7th in New Orleans.
Okay, so if he's doing this, he's doing WrestleMania. How do you think the team feels about him doing WrestleMania, coming off the concussion and the back and the whatever, all these other things?
I don't think they loved it last year.
I can't imagine that they did.
Matt in Fall River, your thoughts on Rob Gronkowski?
How you doing, guys? Long time listener, first time caller. I'm just calling one thing on the wrestling thing. What happens if his friend Mojo's over there on the blue brand? That's what the next pay-per-view is.
Okay, first of all, your phone blows and I can't understand a word you're saying. Does someone want to translate?
Mojo Rawley is friends with Gronk. He's been associated with him in the past at WrestleMania. So maybe there's a tag team match at Fastlane that just hasn't been announced yet.
Very good. Something like this. Something like this. He's got something on the outside of football which should scare you if you're the Patriots. That's all. Most of these guys have no other option, have no other revenue stream, have nothing else to leverage the league. Rob Gronkowski has leverage against you and the league.
So I still believe at the end of the day he's going to come back to football. I do, and I don't know if that's because the Patriots give him his money or what. So, but do I think that he has had health issues that would open him up to doing other things? Yes, I do.
Zach in the car on another Bruins move that I find baffling, in fact. Zach in the car, go ahead.
Hi, I was talking about the Holden trade. And I was seeing, is that something where he's going to be playing maybe more minutes to take away from Chara?
Chara, he can't take minutes over Matt Greslick. How's he going to take minutes away from Chara? He can't take minutes away from Adam McQuaid. I wonder, but look, the Bruins made a series of ancillary moves that we haven't even talked about, and I don't care to because you should do these on your own time. But if Brian Gionta plays, something went horribly wrong. Someone got hurt or started sucking out of nowhere. They made another trade today for something named Trey Wingles. What's his first name?
Oh.
Willie Wingles.
Yeah.
Hold on. There's our maintenance in the store.
No. That's Mark Mingles.
Tommy Wingles,
who I have heard of. He's a fourth center in Chicago. He's a penalty kill guy. He's a face-off guy who loses them. He's a fringe player. He's a centerman. So he's now your fifth center. They signed Gionta. They traded for Wingles. And they've traded for Nick Holden. Okay, so if guys get hurt, when you're on a legit cup run, guys get hurt and you go deep and there's a roar of attrition. So instead of calling up inexperienced guys who shouldn't be up there from Providence, you're now calling on Wingles, Holden, Gionta, experienced NHL caliber players.
Sure.
Good. Love it. Smart play. Here's the problem. This Nick Holden cost you a third and Rob O'Gara. Gionta was free. You pay him a contract, but you didn't have to give up anything to get him. And this Wingles, was it a fifth-round pick?
Yeah, fifth-rounder.
Okay, why? And again, this Nick Holden can't get in the lineup. They benched Brandon Carlo the other night, and they played McQuaid and Miller and Greslick, and Holden's still sitting up there on the ninth floor, which means he's your eighth defenseman. Why are you giving up a third-round pick and Rob O'Gara for an eighth defenseman?
Okay, so I want to see, you know, maybe they have other designs on Holden here. Like, I'm not ready to call him eighth defenseman yet. Maybe he is a fifth
or
a sixth.
Right now he's eighth.
Yes, but also, you know, I told you, Cassidy made some comments when they signed him about the system he was playing in and being able to find him a partner, and we're going to have to assess it when he gets here. And it sounded to me like they had to figure it out first with him because they don't know exactly what they've got or where he fits.
All I'm telling you is,
It feels like they paid a lot for him, yeah, relatively sure.
If he ends up as the sixth guy, then that makes perfect sense. A third and Rob O'Gara for your sixth defenseman. If he's the eighth guy, then that was just too much. But again, it's a smaller thing. It's a secondary kind of deal. I'm not going to lose my mind over it, but it's just, I thought the guy would have been in there by now. Ray and Revere on the Red Sox here on a reentry Monday. Hi, Ray.
Hey, guys. Listen, I just don't like the Red Sox configuration right now. I get it with Martinez, he's better. But frankly, I think they're all flanked by the Yankees. Better controllable players, more prospects, and $70 million less payroll. You know, guys, let me skip to the All-Star break. I think there's a good chance the Red Sox blow it up. The Yankees did a little mini-rebuild a few years ago. They traded Chapman, Andrew Miller, and McCann, and they got it. Two stud prospects each.
Ray, you think the Red Sox are going to be that far out of it that they're going to be selling pieces like that?
No, I think they're going to be a contention for the wild card, but as a play-in game nowadays, I don't think it's worth it.
Oh, they're going to go. If they're in the play-in game, they're not selling pieces.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy to say they're going to sell pieces if they're in playoff contention.
They're too young in most of their place. No, they're not in that spot.
No, they've invested too much now in this team, in this season, all of it. They can't just back out if they're, you know, four games behind the Yankees or six games behind the Yankees where they're going to stop. No chance, and they're going to have a bigger set of problems at the end of the year. They could be worse next year. You know, you're going to lose Pomeranz, you're going to lose Kimbrel. Like, who knows what else is going to pop up. To me, it feels the opposite. I look at it and say they got to this season and said, we better make a run at it now. Because they wanted to do it last year. Then Price got hurt and they, you know, the offense didn't come in the way they thought it would. And now they say, well, the window's closing. How many more years are we going to have this group together? We're going to lose Kimbrel. We're going to lose Pomeranz. We better go out and get the hitter. They should have gotten Stanton. Okay? But again, I have this bad habit of holding on to things for too long. So I'm still not over that one yet. Now Martinez is here. Like, the battle has been lost from my standpoint. But they're in way too deep to trade off pieces on July 31st.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-coupable. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We haven't done any basketball today, so why don't we take this call? Mikey and Linfield on a basketball thought. Hi, Mikey.
Hey, guys. So, you know, recently the Spurs have had this quote-unquote tension with Kawhi Leonard, the other way around, however you want to look at it. And it's been kind of interesting because they're one of the elite franchises in basketball. So whenever the Celtics' last game is in the playoffs, the next day they should immediately be on the phone calling San Antonio about Kawhi's availability. And I just wanted to point out that on Kyrie's original trade request list, one of the teams was San Antonio. Now, if that was to play with Pop, you know, he got a good second place in Brad Stevens. But I think Kawhi Leonard was definitely a factor in that. If he could come to the Celtics, I mean...
Let me ask something, Mikey.
Yes.
If it meant that you were then out on Anthony Davis, would you still do that?
Yes, because the way Davis has been playing lately, I think he's now untouchable, and the Pelicans would be stupid to do anything for him.
That's not what I'm asking. I'm at, if Anthony Davis were available, and the way he answered that trade question last week I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, would you, if you spend your bullets on Leonard, that means you're done with Davis. You have one shot left, Mike. You got one shot. Is it Leonard or is it Davis?
If Davis is available, I would go with Davis,
okay.
But I don't think he'd be available.
Okay, so to me, like, that's the equation. I love Kawhi Leonard. Love him. Love him. I think I would want Anthony Davis more. So
I would, too. And, Jimmy, you can correct me if I'm wrong here. My understanding is that the Leonard could be more realistic because to get Anthony Davis, you'd have to move Al Horford's money off. To get Leonard, it's a cheaper contract. You'd actually be able to keep Al Horford and get Kawhi Leonard to make that deal. And you'd have to move either Brown, Tatum, maybe both, and obviously the pick.
So you don't have to move Al Horford's money to get Anthony Davis. And you don't want Kawhi Leonard. He has compete issues, I think might be a nice way of putting it. And he can't hang in San Antonio. That's a red flag to me.
I want Davis. I'm not sacrificing my chance at Davis. They need a big guy, and he's a landscape changer. Like, no way. I'm not doing it. I'm keeping. I'm waiting. I want every chance I have to get Davis.
And my intel tells me that when the Kawhi Leonard rumor in about mid-January came up, there were teams who called San Antonio. I don't believe the Celtics were one of those teams calling on Kawhi Leonard.
Miss, look, you've got the assets for one more big shot. Is Kawhi Leonard it? If Anthony Davis says no, I would take Kawhi Leonard any day of the week. Would you give up Jason Tatum for Kawhi Leonard?
Nope.
No.
Chris Forsberg last night said he would.
He's wrong.
Good for Chris Forsberg. Good. No, good. I was like a beat guy that's not hanging on to every last Celtic.
I thought he was part of the Stan Pat movement.
Exactly. It's refreshing.
Well, look, Tatum slumped a little of late, right? I lean no there.
Does Jason Tatum project to be better than Kawhi Leonard?
Yes.
Maybe.
Oh, offensively.
Come on.
Yeah?
Yeah, maybe.
It took Leonard years to become the player that he really became. So.
Yeah, of course it does. It takes all of them. Like, kids don't win in that league, so it's going to take all of them. You think Tatum's going to be ready next year?
The closest comp that they have, I think, is Brown. And so Brown in the pick, I would do, because you get Kawhi Leonard now for Kawhi Leonard later.
Don't you think this last thing with Leonard worries you? Like, this whole thing with the Spurs, and, you know, does he want to play or doesn't he want to play?
Kawhi Leonard was cleared in December, and he's out for the season.
You see, that scares me.
Fair.
Like, that scares me.
That should worry you, Mike.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I just, like, I mean, you're talking about the players compete. I've never seen anyone compete better against LeBron James than him. I mean, maybe Draymond Green. I mean, I don't know. I think Kawhi Leonard's compete is fabulous. His defensive ability, fabulous. Tremendous. I love his game. Has he gotten a little squirrely there in the last couple of years as things have gone south in San Antonio? Maybe. I can't speak to that. But I've always loved the player. But Anthony Davis would come before him.
Thank you.
Paul in Manchester on Rick Nash. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. Two questions, actually, more or less. First one for you, Mike.
Do you think the Holden deal had anything to do with getting Rick Nash because Sweeney wants to make this big splash?
So we talked about it before that it was a prid quo quo, it was all part of a bigger deal,
quid pro quo,
and they just split him into two. So that's possible.
All right, and Tony, one question for you is, how are we supposed to trust J.D. Martinez if he's leaning on David Price for advice?
Yeah, well, that story came out, obviously, a week ago, and I know Martinez talked about it a little bit
today. He sort of denied it today. He sort of denied that Price told him anything about Boston.
Yeah, he said that's not what they talked about, right? Except Price had said sort of a similar thing that we don't talk about, you know. I worry that the guy didn't really want to be here? And that ultimately the Red Sox were the one real suitor that offered him anything? Yes, I do worry about that.
Well, I mean, that's the issue. I'm not telling you that he doesn't want to be here, but he's only here because you outbid everybody by a substantial margin.
I still wonder if he's the player everyone thinks he is. I got to see it with this guy. I do. And when I say see it, I mean, I'm sorry. I just think that is a classic sport where you need to see it day in, day out before you really know.
Paul in the car on Rob Gronkowski. What do you think, Paul?
Hey, Jimmy, I think the timeline is a little off because, if anything, I think Gronk would be SummerSlam ready. Because right now they're building everything with Rousey, and it's a whole women's revolution thing, and they don't want to have a man come in and overshadow that. They're very PR conscious lately.
They can do both. They have 6.5 hours to fill in New Orleans.
Yeah, but still, you know, you have Gronk come in and go, oh, well, they've signed Rousey. They made a big deal out of it. Now you have Gronk come in.
So hold on, no one can be bigger than Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania? That sounds silly.
You know how it is right now. It's going through a women's revolution.
Well, would you take that to Fox News? Like, what, are you worried about the women's lib movement? What are you talking about? This is wrestling.
I know, but they're very PR conscious lately.
They can do both.
Vince McMahon does not strike me as Mr. PR conscious.
It's Stephanie.
Yeah, Fell Guy, I don't think they can do it because then Rousey would be upstage and they wouldn't be able to sell Ronda Rousey.
Okay, Gronk ain't tweeting about training camp. He ain't tweeting about OTAs.
He's tweeting about WWE Fastlane in 2 weeks.
He's tweeting about wrestling stuff. So just FYI, that's what's going on. He ain't tweeting about you. Dave in Providence on Rick Nash. Go ahead, Dave.
How you doing, guys? Long time listener, first time caller.
Welcome.
I believe black and gold. I'm going to the game Thursday night, 7th row right behind the penalty box. I think this is a great deal picking up Nash. So both times the Bruins finally made a move towards the playoffs, I think he's going to come in big. I think they're going to go far this year.
Okay, yeah? Babe, he's a big fish. Thursday night's a good little litmus test. Pittsburgh Penguins, Crosby, Malkin, Kessel, Derek Brassard, who they just traded for, Letang, the whole schmageggy. Pittsburgh, Thursday night, you'll have a couple games under your belt with Nash, a couple practice sessions, which they think is big because Nash just showed up. Yesterday, you know, in Buffalo, no practice time. They threw him out there with Krejci and didn't look half bad, by the way. But anyway, you get to Thursday, you'll have a game under your belt and give Carolina tomorrow night and then Pittsburgh Thursday night. Good one.
I mean, maybe that's the night they dust off Nick Hurts from Holden.
Oh, good
top.
God. Instead, they're just holding it up on the 9th floor. Wait, why'd you make that trade if he's going to play behind Greslick, McQuaid, and Kevin Miller? You had to give up that? To put a guy on the 9th floor?
I want to see Nash against Pittsburgh, now that you mention that.
Right?
Like, if you can't get ready to play that game after the trade deadline, that's a bad sign.
No, Thursday night, you'll see. You'll see what they got. Here's Anthony in Medford on the Bruins. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Mike. Mike, instead of, like you said, holding, keeping the 9th floor, you think under the cap they could have maybe got McDonough and threw in Carlo in that 3rd round pick they gave for Holden and the one for Toronto?
So let me match up Tampa's offer with you. I'm not sure you had the guns to do it. They gave up, what's that Russian player? Again, I cannot pronounce the name.
Nemestikov?
Nemestikov. Vladimir Nemestikov. He's their 5th leading scorer. He's 25-year-old centerman. He's got 44 points and 20 goals in 62 games. You can't match that. You don't have a match for that at that age. You know, so the Rangers want young assets coming back. So Tampa sends him a 1st, Nemestikov, and then a couple other considerations. I don't even, you know, I got to go look at those as well. So, no, it would have taken more than... I don't think Carlo in a 1st is a match for Nemestikov in a 1st. I don't think it is.
I mean, the Bruins aren't going to do that. They weren't going to do that.
They weren't going to trade off their current roster.
No, they weren't. I think they said clearly. And the other thing is, you know, again, now you're introducing a whole other element on your defense core. And when I say other element, I don't mean a bad one. I'm just saying that, you know, now there's signability of who you're going to keep, who you're going to go, because you get too many guys to sign them all. Like, that's a more complex problem that they were willing to take on at this time.
No, they targeted Nash. That was their guy from the start, and they got him, and it's a big one. That's a big deadline move. That's a that's a star that you just signed for. He may be past his prime a little bit, but that's a star. And you just got much better in the short term. Long term, we'll see if it was a good deal or not. Because I have questions about him. I have questions about what you gave up. But there's no question. Today, you are better than you were yesterday.
I did not believe for a second that they were going to get Rick Nash. I didn't believe it for a second until it happened. And I went, whoa.
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati. Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh. Love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
According to Steve Conroy, what?
Yeah, he just tweeted this in the last few minutes. Hearing from outside Bruins organization that they tried aggressively on Ryan McDonagh. Don't know what would have gone back to New York.
Okay, so, and we got a call on this last segment. So they were still in on McDonagh. Let me give you the match, what you would have had to offer to match what Tampa gave up for Ryan McDonagh. Tampa gave up a 2018 first-round pick, a 2019 conditional second-round pick that becomes a first if Tampa wins the championship in either of the next 2 years. Okay, so if Tampa wins the Cup this year or next, that second becomes a first. They gave up Namestnikov, again, who's a 25-year-old centerman who's their fourth or fifth leading scorer. Good young prospect. He is an RFA after the year, but he's a 25-year-old stud. And then they gave up two prospects, one by the name of Libor Hajek and the other by the name of Brett Howden. These two players were the Lightning's first and second round pick in 2016. Okay, so if you want to look at it this way, they gave up two firsts, two seconds, and Namestnikov. All right, but anyway, a first, a conditional second that could become a first if they win the Cup, Namestnikov, and then a first-round pick from 2016, a second-round pick from 2016. So here's your comp. You would have had to give up a first, but you traded your first for Nash. So you have to give him your 2019...
Yeah, you got it right.
2019 first-round pick. So they have to wait a year for the first-round pick. You can give them your 2018 second-round pick, put the same condition on it. You win the Cup. That becomes a future first, but again, you're going to have to wait because you're giving away this year's first round pick for Rick Nash. So you just have to wait a year for your picks, okay? But you give up a 2019 first, a 2018 second that becomes a future first if we win the Cup. You don't really have a comp for Namestnikov, so call it Carlo. I don't know if Carlo has as much value as Namestnikov. He's got more, got less, but let's just say for the sake of this argument, Carlo. Then you have to give up two prospects from among this list. Bjork, Ryan Donato, this Jake Stanica, who's their second-round pick from last year, who's tearing it up in the juniors, is supposed to be their top prospect right now.
Yeah, they like that kid.
Trent Frederick, Lauzon, Jacob Forsbacka, Carlson, Sinishin, Zboril. So just call it 2019 first, 2018 second that could become a first. Brandon Carlo, Jake Stanica, Ryan Donato. Are you giving that up for Ryan McDonagh?
No way.
No, that's way too much of an overpay.
They weren't going to go there. They weren't going to go there. It's too, and again.
So now, what could they have been? I'd be floored if that's what they were offering. I mean, when you look at their prospect list, I mean, it is. They've got a lot to deal from. Sinishin, Forsbacka, Carlson, Lauzon, Frederick, Stanica, Ryan Donato, Bjork, you know, never mind, Heinen, DeBrusk. Like, Carlo, they've got a lot to choose from. But you have to give up, you know, two first and second round picks, Carlo, and two of those high prospects. I don't want them doing that.
No, I don't want them doing that either, particularly at this point in time. Again, because I don't think they're there yet. Not quite. And look, they're having a great regular season. Don't get me wrong. But just talk about the teams that they were going to run into here in the second round if they get there. Washington, Pittsburgh, Tampa.
Oh, look.
They're not better than those teams.
You got much better with Rick Nash here. But Tampa's still better than you. They've been better than you from wire to wire. They got a deeper, more talented roster. So with or without Rick Nash, you're an underdog in round two against Tampa.
I'll be honest with you, I'm surprised they made the Nash move.
And if you get past Tampa, what's sitting for you in the conference finals if you're lucky to get that far? Washington, who owns that ass, owns you. Or Pittsburgh, two times defending Stanley Cup champion, who I actually like the matchup. Like the Bruins traditionally have handled Crosby and the Penguins okay. So, like, that would be a fun series. But I don't know. Pittsburgh's pretty good. And they just get Derek Brassard. They go Crosby, Malkin, Brassard at center. 1-2-3. Not too shabby. And Letang's back. So, you know, that's a... they may not get past the second round. And I you know, let's see what it looks like. But if they lose to Tampa and they go down fighting and they go toe to toe and take them deep, there's no shame in that. Tampa's better than you right now. So back to your phones. Here's Mike in Mansfield on Don Sweeney. Hi, Mike.
How's it going? Yeah, I think you got to give Don Sweeney credit for giving up a good amount for Rick Nash. But like you guys were saying, not giving up the whole house for McDonough. Like, we have a good young team right now, and he's also done a good job in the draft, so we got to keep that building up.
The Bruins just aren't in that position. If I'm Tampa or if I'm Pittsburgh, then it makes a little more sense. You're right there. You know, Tampa's sitting there with Stamkos in his prime and Hedman in his prime, and, like, they're there. Fine, I get it. The Bruins, this is, they came a couple years early here. So, you know, I credit the Nash move. That showed some balls, but I don't know how much more I want them extending other than that.
No. They're playing it right now. I thought Sweeney did a pretty good job walking the line at this deadline between helping the team and not going too far.
Tom in Connecticut, what do you got?
Hey, guy out in Pittsburgh, DK Sports, agrees with you, Mike. He says on Nash, he says, wait, the price Bruins gave up for Nash, and he rattles off Spooner and defense and so forth. He says, good Lord, have they ever seen Nash in the playoffs? Oh, sorry, no one's ever seen Nash in the playoffs. And also, Pittsburgh is clearly the favorite. Not clearly, it's a coin flip with Tampa if they get that far. The big thing with Pittsburgh, which I didn't even realize, since 2013, so the last 5 years, the top playoff scorers, Pittsburgh has the top four. Malkin, 81 games, 76 points. Crosby, 74 points. Brassier, 55 points. And then Kessel coming in at 51. They are going to be a nightmare with their top three lines. And actually, their fourth line is pretty darn good, too.
They're a wagon. I'm going to stop you. They're a wagon. So you've got, like, there's no, this is not like a wide open East. This is Pittsburgh and Tampa. And I put Washington on the list just because they own you. So it's like, you know, even with a good run, I don't know where you're going there. So let's see. On Nash, absolutely right. One of the big disappointments of our generation. Like, it's him and Joe Thornton. And they're good buddies, too. Like, oddly enough, they're, like, tight. And Rick Nash is this version of Joe Thornton. He is number one overall pick. Physical force of nature, everything expected of him, and he's never really come through. He's never come through. He's won a couple of gold medals, you know, with Team Canada. But he's only been to one cup finals, never won the cup. He's only made the playoffs 6 of his 15 years. So,
I mean, that's amazing in that league to miss the playoffs that many times.
So, I mean, he gets drafted one overall by a Columbus team that's an expansion team and whatnot. So, like, you get some of it, but I don't know. He's always disappointed. Here's the one thing that I think you should feel better about if you're the Bruins. He's not the top dog here. He's not being relied on to carry the team. He's not being relied on to carry you. He's a second-line consideration, a second-tier consideration, so that's good. And then I have a big thing, too. Every dog has his day. Everyone breaks through eventually. Everyone. Unless you're, I don't know, who never did. Mostly if you're any good and you've kicked around long enough, you break through. Joe made his cup finals a couple years ago, never won. But every dog has his day, and he's not, you know, it's not all dependent on him. So we'll see. I'm still glad they made the move. It's just question mark. Braden in Brighton on the Red Sox. Hi, Braden.
Hey, what up? I think this team's ridiculous. Alex Cora is going to make all the difference. And now you got JD. It's over. The AL is over. Houston, there's no way they can repeat what they did last year during the regular season, at least. And to see that this team last year was one game away from Sale Game 5 against the world champs, with those additions, it's over. We're going to win it all. So see you in the duck boats.
Okay, see you in the duck boats, baby.
Boy, but that guy's optimistic.
That is one way to phrase it. They lose in Game 4, and they really weren't that competitive in that series against Houston, but they were one win away from Sale getting the ball in Game 5. You could also say it another way, that they were one loss away from being swept for the second straight year.
Yeah, and I would say no, they weren't, because Sale pitched in relief in Game 4. So what was he going to do, start Game 5? Like, nice try. Like, no. Now, look, again, I think, you know, the American League East got a little bit tighter with Martinez. I still like the Yankees better than like the Red Sox. My opinion hasn't changed on that one. But they're not, you know, let's not be ridiculous. They're not on the same level as the Astros. Not even close. The Astros are loaded.
Darren in Rhode Island. Hi, Darren.
Hey, guys. So I just want to touch on the Holden and Wingles deals. First on Holden, if you look at his time on ice, he seems to be anywhere between an 18 and 20-minute a night player.
Right.
But he came from a man-to-man system. He's never played in a Bruins-style system. So I'm hoping it's an adjustment period and there's 7 guys ahead of him, so he'll play in due time. But on Wingles, he's clearly a fourth liner, but if you look at his playoff experience, he's played 54 games in the playoffs. and our entire third line has virtually no experience. So I think that's what that deal was about.
Sure. Yeah, fine. And that's good depth, and you paid nothing for him. Like, I get that. The Holden thing for a third in O'Gara feels like an overpayment for a guy who's going to sit upstairs unless someone gets hurt. That's all. But I don't want them touching that fourth line unless someone gets hurt. Like, I don't see that fourth line falling off the map.
Those guys are kamikazes, all three of them.
I mean, all it is just complete, like, grinding in the corners. Like, that doesn't, that travels. That's sort of slump-proof, the way that those guys play.
No, more than any guys on the team, those three are relentless.
Oh, crazy. But you know what I have noticed? And it's starting to, I'm starting to get a little agitated by it. It's very Clodian.
What, rolling them?
They play late in these games, man. Cassidy is not afraid. He will throw them out there with 4 minutes left in a tie game. They were out there taking a regular shift at the end of that Toronto game. 4 minutes left, 3 minutes left, tie game, key game, and here comes the Fribble crew. Like, I mean, I love these guys. I like them. I like them more than that fourth line from previous. But if I'm going to get on Claude for that, I've got to look at Cassidy the same way. Like, not every situation was built for the fourth line. There's a role there, and there's a place for him. That doesn't mean tie game, you need a goal 4 minutes. Like, no, I don't know. I've seen it a little bit. I've seen it creep in here. Tight game, late game, here comes the fourth line. Like, yeah, it's okay.
Well, maybe he doesn't like what he's seen some out of these other lines lately.
Well, so this goes back to what I mentioned before, and that is I think Krejci's gotten hurt ice time-wise because he doesn't totally trust Spooner or DeBrusk in those situations, which I get. DeBrusk is a rookie. Spooner's a little soft. So this is why Nash being there may change that equation, where the Krejci line gets more time in those situations than they were because Nash is trustworthy. But I don't know. A lot of that fourth line, I mean, they deserve it, but at the end of those games, I don't know, man. Final word, come join next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Blend force terminal running right down their throat.
Felger,
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
So we double dip with Maz in the final word
today. Oh, wait. Which one's which? Which coming first?
Well, we'll start with your, how about a little bit of your trip to Canada?
Oh, okay. So Mike doesn't know about this.
Yeah. So why don't you fill us in? We're about to hear here.
So I was in Toronto over the weekend. You know this?
No. I have no idea.
Oh, so I went to the Hockey Hall of Fame.
I'm laughing already. I'm looking forward to this.
So I went to the Hockey Hall of Fame, and they have all these little interactive things that you can do, one of which is you can do play-by-play. You get to pick the moment. So I tried to show my son how you do this. So I picked Bobby Orr's goal to win the cup against the Blues.
Love it. All love right. it.
So here we go.
Blues are in trouble here. Hall holding firm. Orr pinches along the right side, dumps it into Sanderson, back in front of Orr. He scores! Oh, and Picard tripped him, the dirty rat. He tripped him. The Bruins have won the cup.
That's my whole foray into play-by-play.
No, that's pretty good.
So dirty rat.
Of course, I was focused on the trip more than the goal, but that's a problem. I always angle for the negative.
How many plays can you choose from history?
There's a bunch in there, like, what's his name? Paul Henderson scored for Canada.
Henderson!
Paul Henderson. That one's on there.
Is the Mayday, Mayday, is that one in there?
I just picked the first one I recognized, Barry. Right, so well. I went to Bobby Orr and Derek Sanderson. That was easy
for me. Shocked you didn't call the dive, the greatest dive in hockey history.
That rat and old Picard, though, he did. He tripped the bastard.
Awesome.
We also have this from Maz today, going off on Scott Boris.
Oh, this is tremendous.
The insufferable bore that is Scott Boris at today's J.D. Martinez press conference.
Oh, God. Yes. Common goal. Execute. Agreement. Long time. Oh, yeah, that's funny. Clarity. Clear. Dynamics. Medically. Legally. No. Yeah. Accord.
There's a process of understanding.
Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. The medical... The legal, spiritual,
There are a number of elements.
He is a blowhard, huh?
These are complicated, intricate.
It's a process of understanding it.
High-level discussions, and there is, you are required to both speak and listen intently, Michael. And there is a certain amount of interaction that takes place in these sorts of things, and it can be a very delicate.
Shut up! Good God, shut up! Shut up! Just shut up! Stop talking! Oh! Shut up! My God, he is. He's a complete freaking blowhard. Good God, the guy had a bad foot. We had to redo the deal. Thank you, done. Bye. End of story. Like, holy crap. Seems like pulling teeth, isn't it?
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.